I'd like to welcome everyone to the study session for the Mesa City Council, Monday, April 5th, 2010. Councilmember Richens, I think, is running a couple minutes late, so we'll wait just a minute for him. But we will begin by reviewing tonight's agenda. Page 2. Oops, I lost my pen. I didn't lose my pen. I got the top. I don't know where the bottom is. Okay. Thank you. Page 2. Nothing. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. And page 6. Mr. Brady. You have some new items here? On page 6.
Yeah, Mayor, Council, after the conclusion of the study session, we asked Council about putting the items on the agenda for the sale. They're included here. Included is the amount for the stormwater bonds, which we received direction from Council to, we want to do the projects. This does not assume how we're going to pay for them. We're still, unless the Council decides to pay for it with cash. Otherwise, whether we pay for it through the current or the prior 2008 bond approach of using general fund revenues, or whether we find or use additional revenues from the options we talked about, we're going to talk about that later today. But this assumes, from the direction we've heard the council, that we would include the $5 million for the bond sale. But we haven't determined necessarily how that would be paid for. No. Until we get further direction from Council.
Councilmember Summers had a question, Mr. Brady.
Yes.
On 5H, the $30 million, if you look back at your schedule from last Thursday, there were $25 million in 2008 programs.
Correct.
And $5 million in the stormwater.
Correct.
And that's those two combined are the $30 million.
Right. Altogether. And also let...
Okay.
Yeah.
And remind Council also, and we'll talk more about this when we talk about the proposed... property tax bill for Mesa residents. This is actually $30 million less than we had scheduled when we sold the bonds. So when we sold the bonds and we talked about the schedule of sales of bonds, we had anticipated in the second year of the program we'd be selling about...
When you sold the bonds. Bonds.
Bonds.
Bombs. Yeah. When you sold the bond, when we... At first proposed the bond.
When we first proposed.
Not sold, but proposed.
When we first, okay. Sorry. When we first proposed, and the authorization, we talked about the program, the capital improvement program and the bond program.
Right.
We had, and when we laid that out, we had anticipated that this year, that the amount that would be sold at this time, over a year ago, would be $60 million. So there's about a $30 million difference. And we'll talk more about how that impacts the actual.
What we're saying
taxes.
Is that we had planned 60, we're only selling half that many.
Correct.
Okay. And actually, oh, that's good. Okay. All right. Anything else on page 6? Page 7. Mr. Wesley.
Mayor, if I may, you have in front of you this evening revised ordinance being introduced for the zoning case Z-1011. We were reviewing the language in that ordinance and recognized. Some wording can be approved and improved just a little bit in items 4, 5, and 6 in those steps. And because we didn't provide a strikeout version, I need to read quickly those new steps as they're worded in the revised ordinance. Number 4, all residential product proposed for Torvita Estates shall be reviewed and approved by the planning director before issuance of a building permit. Number 5, no two-story homes will be built for lots 15 through 19 of Torvita Estates when such lot is adjacent to a single-story home in the Triana subdivision to the north. And number 6, rear elevations for all two-story homes adjacent to adobe shall be enhanced with additional detailing and materials to provide a higher quality appearance than a standard home in this subdivision. So it's just some slight adjustments in the wording to make them a little clearer, a little bit more enforceable in the long run.
What about two-story homes that face 40th Street?
That did not come up as a concern in the Planning and Zoning Board meeting.
Okay. I don't have a... I'm sorry, I didn't look at the site plan here. I don't have one here. Are there lots that back up to 40th Street?
Mayor, that's what I'm trying to remember, too. I'm afraid I don't have a site plan with me. Most of them side into, and I'm trying to remember if any back into.
Because I would assume that the architectural requirements would be the same for any houses that back onto 40th Street or onto Adobe Street, since
I'm sure they would be. The concern across Adobe was that those houses front and look across Adobe, and so they were a little bit more concerned about the backs that they would be looking at.
I mean, one of the considerations, I know when I met with this group, was that we would go for four-sided architecture anyway.
Correct.
Which should be, it should be a non-issue.
Correct.
And, I want to make sure there's no question as to whether enhanced architecture.
We can review that with the applicant between now and the meeting upstairs. And
Mr. Pugh's out there. Is that you can review that before, or is that something that you would agree to include in the stipulation?
We'll review it with Mr. Wesley and be ready for the introduction.
Okay. All right. In watching, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I read over this before, but in watching the P&Z meeting, there was also something about maintaining a row of citrus and other things that were just discussed. Is that
Mayor? Those were
right over it.
Excuse me, Mayor. Those were all in the site plan. They did not need steps because they were already part of their narrative and their site plan.
Okay. We'll talk about that afterwards too. All righty. Okay. Anything else on page 7?
I guess, Mayor, we'll need to maybe talk about it upstairs, maybe pull it off consent, or at least have reviewed those before you.
Yeah, I'd like to look at those before we
pull it off.
So it's not read at consent, and then let's see how the conversation goes, right? Because we accommodated putting this one on quickly, we heard that was okay, but we are
some open points that were left on the P&Z as it related to design standards and other things. And I understand that this is just an introduction. On the other hand, I don't want to get into this where there might be changes or done between that. And then all of a sudden we're looking at 2 weeks down the road. And I guess we might end up in the same place, but I'd rather just
try to get as much
get it all done so we can get it out of the way rather than have a delay or deferral. And I didn't see in here where the design standards have been. Have those been finalized as far as submitted? Because I know that at P&Z, they were working on them, but they had not yet submitted the actual language on the design
standards. Item number 3, Mayor, we have draft ones, and number 3 requires final design guidelines to be approved by staff.
I looked right over that. I apologize. And on those, the draft that you have, how complete are those? Because I know in my meeting with the applicant, we had talked about some specific standards that they would comply with. I'm sorry.
Mayor, they're reasonably complete. They include with them illustrations of typicals, and those illustrations at this point look of very good quality. So it's a matter of just fleshing them out a little bit more.
Okay, we'll talk about that too then. You can give me some details on that afterwards. Okay? All right. Nothing else. We'll go on to item 2. Hear presentation, discuss, provide direction on budget issues. Yummy. Mr. Odom.
I think Mr. Brady is going to kick this off.
Oh, excuse me.
Sorry.
Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Mayor, Council, I think we've provided you a handout of this PowerPoint. Really what I want to do is kind of set the stage for the conversation we'll continue to have over the next few weeks as different, and you've already had a few, but more and more of the departments will be coming to the council with the proposed budget reductions. So I just kind of want to set the stage. We've had this conversation on a few occasions about where we stand today, but let's just kind of go back and get the big picture again. If we'll go to the first slide there, Chuck, and really if you look at the city and we talk about the impacts of the city, or the city funds, sorry, we talk about budgets of $1.1 $6 billion. Many of that, though, is included in the Utility and Enterprise Fund, and that's something we'll talk about. There are other areas that are, have restricted funds, such as the transportation sales tax, specifically associated with those activities and street maintenance. We have other funds that come for other trust funds, health benefit trust funds, the cemetery trust fund are allocated in a different area, so they're restricted for those expenditures. We have bond expenditures, and we'll talk more about those, but they're limited to paying for those capital projects. We receive grants, a variety of different grants. But when we, if you'll turn to the next page, we're really focused on, if you look at the forecasted shortfall, it's really on that general fund, general governmental fund. And here again is a depiction of what revenues come in to support the general fund. These are the core businesses of the city outside of utilities. In the inner circle, you can see the focus and primary focus on public safety with police and fire receiving a significant portion or representing a significant portion of the city's expenditures in the general fund, followed by the parks, library, and culture, and then really all other programs follow after that. You can see here it depicts where the largest sources of funding comes for that. I think it's always interesting to note that even with all of the sales tax collected for the general fund, with all of the funds that are transferred from our enterprise fund and state shared revenues, that's still not enough to fund public safety. It still falls short. Even collecting all those revenues, that still falls short. So outside of that, we still rely upon other fees and services, revenues that come to the city to support the remainder of the public safety component. But this is where we feel the pressure. This is where we see, we've seen the reduction in sales tax, and really we've already experienced the state taking back some of the funds from the LTAF, as we talked about last week, impacting the city. Slide four is something that we've shared with the council previously. This kind of goes back to the revenues that come to the city and where we're anticipating, where we've seen in just this year the largest decrease in revenues, city sales tax, state sales tax. None of those are a surprise. That's fairly consistent. This does not include anything to do with the grants or any land sales. We've stripped those out of here. Slide five then shows taking those revised projections and projecting forward what we anticipate in the next fiscal year, which is the year that we are faced with in our budget discussions. You see additional reductions, shortfalls in revenues, especially in the urban revenue sharing. And part that is significantly, that shows up here in this year, while some of the other sales taxes are actually projected to go up because there's a two-year delay. This actually represents the worst, I guess, of times when sales tax 2 years ago were falling off by
23%.
And now we finally get, that's the state now finally, that impact finally hits the city 2 years later. They hold on to those sales tax dollars for 2 years before they the city receives them. So we don't start seeing the impact of the sales tax drop from 2 years ago until we get into next year's budget. And that's what that represents there. So when you combine all those, this is the $19.5 million. This is consistent with what we've demonstrated or shown the council in the past that we have to solve for going forward into this year. We already talked about slide seven, about some items in this year's budget and looking forward where we have identified some reductions of about $3.3 million. And I think that's important going forward. That number, you'll notice the memo I sent out to the employees and the council this week, that number is actually growing because of we didn't include the LTAF dollars in there, so we know that there's more dollars to be found because of the reduction. It's not actually $2 million because we know that there's going to be some additional dollars in the fares that we're collecting as a result of light rail. And we talked about this last week, so that net difference is still impacting the city. Before I go to slide eight, one of the things I want to just visit with the council about, and I think we talked about this in the forecast. When we look at our sales tax, you know, drop and where we stand and where we estimate sales tax will be in the year going forward, you almost have to go back four, 5 years ago to see how that's how long ago it was that we were collecting that same amount of money. So essentially what we're saying is the sales tax we're receiving today is about the same amount of sales tax we were collecting almost 5 years ago. And Vice Mayor Jones actually asked us to run some numbers to look at where the general fund dollars have been over the last 4 to 5 years. And it's fairly consistent is that what we're seeing is that we are having to live within resources that were in place that we were funding the city with almost 5 years ago, and yet doing that in an era where over the last 5 years we've probably increased the city's square miles by maybe 10, 15 square miles, yeah, conservatively. Mm-hmm. I think everybody would agree with that, and our population certainly has grown by conservatively 60, 70,000 people, maybe even more, during that five-year period of time. And
we've
so,
added 50,000 conservatives over the last 5 years?
Probably. I don't know, Dennis, was there any other group that came out? I mean, Dennis has some other friends.
One Democrat.
The reason I did that is in the next slide, 8, is what we're trying to show is even during these difficult times and readjustments, what we tried to compare was where were the budgets for public safety, libraries, community. If you look back in 05, 06, and where they are today, you can see again the council's priority is the public safety. While certainly there has been reductions in public safety, they still have budgets that are greater than they were from 5 years ago. But what's interesting is when you look at parks, libraries, and culture, community, and other, they have definitely been impacted. Here are departments that are having to provide services to our community 5 years later, but dealing with budgets that are less than they were 5 years ago. And then really slides 9 and 10, just we take those larger groupings and start breaking them down. You can see in law enforcement and fire. Again, while they have certainly had to give up and have sacrificed, those dollars at least ahead of where they were 5 years ago, even though our resources aren't there. And you can see where other departments have certainly felt the impact. And I think that the message here, and the reason I want to show this to the mayor and council, is obviously with these cuts, it becomes more and more difficult for us to provide for the core service programs throughout all the departments, especially when we're reducing budgets that are less than they were 5 years ago, and they're still having to try to provide those services. So as we bring the proposals to the council, what you're going to see is we're trying as hard as we can not to eliminate entire departments, if you would. Try to keep core services within our departments. We're still looking at we've consolidated departments. We're really trying to find ways to focus on the most essential core elements of our departments. Again, with public safety being the highest priority. And what we've instructed, and you'll see this Thursday in public safety, is focusing on our priority of the first line responders, the sworn positions. By doing so, it does mean that there will have to be significant adjustments, elimination of other programs outside of those first line. We've done the same thing, though, in all the other departments. As you know, we've certainly in the Parks Department seen a significant reduction in the different types of programs, services we provide. Hours have been eliminated. Programs have been eliminated in the library. We've reduced our development and sustainability departments by over 60% over the last couple of years. So we're trying very hard to fit all these reductions in while still trying to deliver some core services without eliminating completely anyone's particular service in the city. So we're still trying to provide, well, maybe at a much smaller scale and much smaller options, at least some services in almost every one of the single areas that we've had in place. That obviously becomes very difficult. It is a challenge. I think that staff has been very helpful and creative and innovative in trying to come up with solutions and reductions. There's no way that as we've looked at this, we can reduce our budgets without, again, impacting positions. And that's very difficult because, again, we're probably going to be looking at having to eliminate significant number of jobs within the city organization that will impact obviously individuals who have committed years of great service to the city, who for no fault of their own, we may have to eliminate their jobs. And we're going to work very hard to do what we can to work with that. But obviously, as we present these proposals to council, we have to let employees know. We don't want them to hear from it for the first time when it comes to council. So department heads will begin to at least have a conversation that these are ideas that are being considered and discussed. The council may choose to do something else. But in order to have a conversation, we have to put those on the table for a conversation. We're doing everything we can to look at overall personnel costs, and compensation is also another approach. We are looking at being more flexible this time, possibly if we can, so what those reductions may be. Last year, if you recall, we did a 2% across the board. Obviously received different feedback from the employees, recognizing that if we have to do a reduction again, maybe there are different options on how that can be accomplished. And all those variety of different options are being discussed and considered. For some who may be within 2 or 3 years of retirement, there may be some options that may be better than others, so that doesn't materially affect what their ultimate retirement paycheck might be. The other option that we're having to look at seriously this year is for the last 3 years, we've not increased the employees' cost of health benefits. We'll no longer be able to do that. So there will be additional costs to the employees for their health benefit costs. We're also having to really look at the structure or the type, the different plans that we provide. Essentially, we focus on about an 80-20 split, which I think is pretty consistent across the valley, and where it's not, those cities are actually moving to the 80-20. But we may not be able to provide the same amount, same types of health benefit programs that we've provided in the past. We may have to reduce those options, and we're really having to evaluate what it actually cost the city to provide those costs, those programs, and align better the employees' contributions with those premium plans. So all those are on the table. We'll be bringing those to council. We'll be bringing everything from the public safety departments and the larger departments to show a plan that we will hope we will ultimately get to that will cover the $19-20 million that in forecasted shortfalls we have. Like I said, we've already shown you $3.3 million. We'll have other plans to roll more of those out. But I think it's going to take a variety of all these proposals coming to council to make this work, to include in what I will have to present to council a proposed budget in May, and then council will consider that in June timeframe. So with that, what we'd like to do really is that's just kind of setting the stage going forward, and then we would just like to kind of move forward with the presentations over the next couple weeks in our presentations. I don't know if there's any questions at this time. This was just intended more of an introduction, but certainly if there's any questions, we'll be
glad. And what an introduction it was.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just want to make something clear because I think it can be misconstrued. I know it can be misconstrued because I've gotten several phone calls today. And that is that there's a lot of things that are going to be on the table, and that city staff and management is still in the development stage or the review process. There's a lot of discussions that need to be undertaken. We have employee groups. Mm-hmm. That these have not been discussed with. No. We have managers, we have other employees that we have not discussed with. So what you've thrown out are possibilities.
Right.
In some cases, to be honest, probabilities, depending upon how they all fit together. I know that when possibilities are thrown out, especially by council or by senior management, they are then taken upon inevitabilities. And that perhaps decisions have already been made and they're fixed in stone. I think the reality is, and to those who called, that the options are slim. There are still options. But either way, it's not a matter of can we avoid this or not avoid this pain. It's just the manner in which we have to experience this may be one way or another way or another way. And a lot of that, I'm assuming, will based on the the policies and also the priorities that this council sets. And we have set many, but, you know, obviously as things change, we may need to revisit some of those things. And so some of the stuff that Mr. Brady talked about, you know, we may choose to go a different route. But the fact of the matter is, I get the message, and I think we all did, that the economy still stinks. Our financial situation, because of the economy, and we are completely dependent upon the economy. And I was trying to explain it today to someone. We're like a boat, and it's not that we're without a rudder. It's just that we spend the revenues that are collected, and the sources of our revenues are very much defined by the economy. You know, sales tax goes up and down based on the taxable activity. That's purely driven by the economy. Construction activity goes up and down. So a lot of our revenue, and at the state level, that's the same, is dependent upon the economy, and we need to manage through that. You know, we did a lot the last time, and the employees of this city did a great job of adjusting and adapting, and I understand they have. This doesn't look like a whole lot of fun this time, but, you know, this is our reality. This is where we are. We're beyond philosophical discussions, because philosophies don't have numbers. And whether we like it or not, we have a set amount of revenue that we collect, and we need to run a city and provide services as best we can within those parameters. And that's, I guess, what we all signed up for. And we're not going to shy away from that responsibility. But I don't want people thinking that there are very specific situations or solutions that involve them right now. Don't jump to that conclusion, but be aware that it's out there. Is that an accurate
summary? Right. I mean, that's why we want to have the conversation. I think we're charged with giving you some options to consider, and that's what we're trying to do, so that we can have a conversation and get some direction. Ultimately, at the end of the day, a proposed budget is submitted to the council, then the council has the opportunity to make changes or before it approves its budget at the end of June. So that's what we're trying to do, is kind of get a conversation going so we know what that proposed budget may look like going forward. But yes, everything is on the table, and we're having this conversation.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from council? Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll go ahead and move forward with the presentation by the Solid Waste Department on the budget. And we've also included in this conversation, that's significant, is an update on their landfill and disposal contracts, which is maybe not right now significant in their budget, but it could be down the road. So we want to make sure we have that conversation with council now.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm Willie Black. I'm the Solid Waste Director here at the city, and with me today is Ray Froelich, our Operations and Research Analyst, here to go over our budget and landfill disposal update for you. We'll start with our RC budget reductions. We started out with a baseline budget of about $24.5 million. Our total proposed reductions, 9.4%, which is just over $2 million, leaving us a budget of $22 million. And in our cuts, we've got four vacant positions. There are three operator positions and one service assistant, in addition to overtime. All of our cuts relate to the economy. When people aren't spending money, there's no trash, or a reduction in trash. So we don't fill the positions unless we need the people. Equipment usage, because we're running less miles, we're running less loads to the disposal sites. Our equipment usage has gone down. And in addition to the new equipment we have on the street, we've got a number of our vehicles under warranty, so we can give up $600,000 for equipment usage. And related to the reductions in the trash, we're seeing about 51,000 less tons in trash, bringing our reduction in landfill fees to $1.2 million. And there again, going with the economy, we need less bins and boxes for the customers. We've brought a lot of bins back in, and therefore we're able to reduce $157,000.
Willie, Councilmember Summers has a question.
Really more of a statement. From what I'm hearing you say, that these reductions are in response to a decline in need as opposed to a need to cut a budget where we had some services we have an increase in need and yet a decrease in budget. This is a response to decreasing garbage.
Councilmember Summers, correct. As we see the declines on a monthly basis, we monitor it and we actually route based on that.
And you're able to collect the garbage from the front?
There's no service changes.
No service changes. Everybody's garbage is getting taken care of.
Correct.
Thank you.
Moving on to the solid waste program budget. For this year, we were budgeted revenue $47 million. It's going to change a little bit next year to we'll see a little bit of a decline. Part of that has to do with the decline in business that we're seeing. We lost a large roll-off business. In addition to our recyclables, getting less money for the recyclables that we're taking. Expenses for 09-10, just over $32 million, and we're going to see a decline. I talked about the $2 million that you've already seen. We're going to go down to $28 million for expenses, bringing our net income to $15 million for this year and budgeted for $17 million next year.
Okay. Councilman Richards has a question.
How are ongoing employee retirement and benefit calculations worked into this budget number? So, like, if you know, we have solid waste employees, they work for us for 25, 30 years, they retire. Is that number captured in the expenses of the enterprise, or is it captured in another place?
No. Go ahead.
They're captured within the, if they're an enterprise employee, they're captured within the expenses of the enterprise, fully benefited, fully loaded.
So this expense number is for all past retirees of solid waste?
The only thing that the city continues to pay for on a retiree was employee benefits for their health insurance in retirement.
Does that get reflected in the?
Yes, it gets reflected in this number.
So we captured in the enterprise, in the solid waste budget.
In the enterprise. Okay. Thank you.
Throughout the year, our operational efficiencies, we've managed to contain costs, and again, we're recommending no rate increase for the majority of our customers, and projecting out for future fiscal years, we're projecting out a 1.4% increase to flatten it out. Moving on to landfill disposal, 78% of our solid waste goes to the Salt River landfill. 100% of our green waste goes to the site as well, in addition to 51% of our recyclables. Our current contract is to 2015 with the Salt River community. The next site we use is waste management transfer stations. 17% of our solid waste goes to their sites. We use both the Santan facility and the Sky Harbor sites, and we have contract options to 2013.
Let's just pause here first. Are you going to finish off? I'll go finish off the other two. I'm sorry. Go ahead and knock the other two, and then let's come back to it.
Okay.
Just highlight the next two contracts.
Republic Waste Services, which is also known, it was formerly Allied Waste. 5% of our solid waste goes there. We use two different sites, the AJ Landfill and the Mesa Transfer Station there on Mountain Road, and we have contract options to 2013. The remaining 49% of our recyclables go to Hudson Baylor, and we have contract options on that agreement to 2012.
So, and we'll go to slide 7, but Mayor and Council, I just want to point out, this is a, well, our contracts have been worked well for us, and we've had great partnerships. These terms are getting very close in time, and from a solid waste perspective, they are very short term. And it does concern me significantly that we need more of a longer perspective on these contracts looking out into the future for something, obviously a significant service we provide, and something that, depending on the type of a contract or the service we're looking for, sometimes can take an extended period of time to put in place. If it's not an existing landfill, if there has to be something new, the effort to put together a plan for a new facility or finding new facilities for those arrangements can take a long period of time. Plus, I think it's better fit for the city to have the assurance that it has a longer term perspective than maybe 4 or 5 years out on solid waste. So the next slide, Willie's going to kind of go through trying to get beyond this cycle where we are now 5 years out. I would recommend to the council, I think it's more of a standard in the industry to really look at closer to 10 to 15 years, Willie, would you say, to at least have some component, a significant component of our contract for landfill disposal would have a longer period of time, certainly outside of a 3 or 5 year perspective.
Are we currently exercising the contract extensions right now, the options? Are we in options or are we at the end of a contract?
Those are the contract extension options that we'll have.
We're exercising now.
Yes, that's
so the maximum. We're almost at the end of anything we can do with those contracts.
Correct. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm back. Councilman Richens.
Do you anticipate any increases in disposal costs as part of this renegotiation or looking at this longer term? Because if we're expiring in the next, 2012, and I notice, you have no recommended rate increase through, a very flat rate increase structure through fiscal year 13-14, is that the most prudent approach? I'm guessing costs are only going to go up.
I think that's fair. Obviously, we want to. One thing Willie brings to the table is volume of garbage. And if he can get a longer-term contract, maybe there's some opportunity. You're right. I mean, once we go through negotiations to get longer-term solutions, we'll have to come back and see what impact that may have in the rates forecast that we've presented to you today. Go ahead, Willie. Go ahead.
One of the options we have is that we're one of the largest customers in the East Valley, so everybody wants our trash. That's a good feeling. There was a day when we didn't have very many options, and what we're actually going to look for, we're going to explore all of our options so that we have possibly a 20 to a 30-year solution. We're not looking at this 5 and 6 years down the line. One of the options we could do is extend the current contract with Salt River, although their airspace capacity only shows they can go to about 2020 right now. We need to go beyond 2020. As far as the MRF contractor goes, there's other vendors that are available. We need to check those options
Stay
out.
MRF.
Material recovery facility.
Strike one.
That was the third one, and I was even out of the room and I heard one, so that's okay.
Explore the possibilities of a new landfill. There's a new landfill that's been sited in Pinal County between Florence and
it's northeast of Florence.
It's
north of Florence, right?
Correct.
I don't know if Coolidge, though. Would it be Coolidge? No.
My understanding is it's...
it's more... Anyway, it's northeast.
Florence and Superior. I'm sorry.
Northeast
of Florence.
Yeah, that's a lot
of space. We've got transfer station options. The best solution for us is a transfer station in the north part of Mesa, hopefully. And what we want to do is explore the options and then return with options and recommendation for the mayor and council.
Councilman Richens?
Is utilizing some of our land in Pinal County on the table for a landfill?
I don't know if Pinal County feels about that.
I don't either. That's why I'm just asking.
No, at the end of the day, that's why you have to get these, because there are only certain areas that have already gone through permitting and have some of the approvals to even get to the point where you can even start talking about a piece of property serving as a landfill is an extended period of time. Is that correct?
Correct.
Really? Maybe talk as much as you can about that, what that might mean. I mean, I guess that would be an option, but it would be... That's 10 years, 7 years from now. I don't know
how
long it takes.
The reality is we're not in the landfill business.
Correct.
And we're in the garbage collection business. And there are others who do landfills as that's their business.
Mayor, there's plenty of capacity left. Waste Management's Butterfield landfill has in excess of 50 years. And the landfill that's south of Florence that is owned by Republic Services has 300-plus years.
300 years?
At current capacity.
To answer your question... Councilmember Richens.
It indeed it does.
So that doesn't include the proposed new one that you were talking about between
no,
Florence and
correct. No, it does not.
So okay. This is we're just letting council know we're going to start going out there, meeting with our current partners, talking about what's the best deal they can give us for a long term, looking at other options that might be out there, and then bring all those back to the council as we start trying to put together a package, a program that we need to start moving on over for the long term, but we need to do it quickly.
Correct.
Okay.
That's it.
Councilmember Finter.
On page 3, it talks about reserve funds. Balances, I'm presuming, 17.7, 27%. How does that impact our general reserve fund balances? Does this get us to our 8 to 10% goal?
These are all the enterprises, major enterprises, are all balanced together to get us to that goal.
Okay, so we have an unusually high reserve fund balances in sanitation, but it might be lower someplace else.
And again, that's why we kind of balance off to the question you had before on expenses. We're reacting to the expenses that are being generated by the solid waste division, but we're balancing their rate increase against that drop.
Yeah, but Councilman Fender, you said it correctly. What we try to do in the enterprise fund is there may be 1 year where Willie's having to buy 16 new trucks. And so if you just looked at his schedule by itself, his reserve fund could significantly decrease. Right. But we try to schedule that and offset that where in another enterprise fund, such as maybe water or gas, electric, we try to offset that and maintain over for all of them a range of that 8% to 10% without any one of them having to see large fluctuations in rates over time. I think we're getting ready to talk later today about overall the enterprise fund, what it looks like. Because I think that's the big picture, because we look at them together, combine them, we kind of play them off of each other.
And once again, fund balances, as you pointed out, Chuck, are a snapshot. But when you're planning for fund balances, you look over several years, and you'll have an ebb and flow with individual fund balances that hopefully average out to where we want to be.
Right.
Based on capital plans, things like that. Councilmember Richards has a question.
Also, not just to be clear, the fund balance is different than the transfer amount, too.
Correct. Oh, yes.
The fund balance and how the fund balances are maintained.
Right.
It's important to understand that the transfer amount is still a fixed, pretty much a fixed number.
Well, it is
more
a consistent number.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess the
I don't want to live. I'm trying not to limit anybody by saying, I would say it is the same number as the total transfer. Now, what we try to do for the departments in order for them to help manage their budgets as much as possible so they kind of know what's coming in and out of their particular operations, we're trying to give them a consistent number that will go towards that transfer and also keep the transfer, you know, subject to council's approval at the same number each year. That makes sense. I mean,
that's from a planning perspective, that's exactly right. We've used a level number.
All right, so we're not adjusting the transfer to balance the budget of anything else. We're keeping the transfers pretty. That is an option available to us.
That's why I said
I want to use the word fixed.
I want to use the word consistent from last year to this year. That's correct.
That's why we have transfer stations.
Oh, boy.
We can forget it. That's bad humor.
That was bad.
But to get back to what you're saying, as a policy, and so people understand, when was it? 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that the council as a policy decided to keep a consistent
transfer. It was 2 years ago, yeah.
The idea being that it used to be, is this the third year?
Third year.
Yeah, it's the third year.
Already? Wow. Okay.
So the idea being in an effort to follow fiscal discipline, which is don't rely on your solid waste to bail you out of something else this year because it may not be there next year, or raise rates here simply so you can cover a shortfall there. The idea being, once again, this is a long-term process and a long-term enterprise.
Right.
Not enterprise, long-term plan. And so we try to instill some financial discipline to not only give the managers something upon which they can plan, but also for us to work around that. Now, we always can look at that and see if we want to change that policy.
Right.
I would.
And the mayor, I think the way from a staff perspective, when we're bringing to you these financial plans, we're telling you we're gonna limit ourselves to a consistent number.
Yes, and that's
it allows the council
because that's
to choose
a
to do whatever you want after decision. That. But if we consistently plan now and in the long term, this is what the number is going to be. We're not trying to create fixes, assuming fluctuations. That's a policy decision. We're providing you a consistent application of that transfer from year to year.
Councilman Richens.
We've talked in the last two presentations about how we compare to SRP for electric rates, for example, or Southwest Gas for gas rates,
right.
And probably be a good part of this conversation to talk about how we compare in rates as far as solid waste to other providers.
Mayor and Councilmember Richens, we compete in the commercial sector for the front load and roll off business, and currently we still maintain 42% of the market. We've kept that for a long period of time.
When we say we compete, that means that's a pure free market. We bid against
correct.
The waste managements and those guys
on
in the world
side,
on the commercial side.
Roll off.
Correct. And then on the residential side, what we look at is we look at cost per home, and we look at the most recent contracted service, and the most recent one we have is Queen Creek, which they came in at, what was it, Ray?
I don't have it with me. Well, sure.
It's
positive. I think it was,
I can get that number for you. We're,
I don't have it.
We're under it. And the next closest one was the City of Goodyear, and it was about $14 a month was what Waste Management was charging. And our cost, if you include what we get paid back for recyclables, is around the $11.50 range per home.
So Willie's motivation, that's why you see recycling is very important. He nets that out of his actual costs.
Correct.
To give him a net cost. So if he can get more for recycling or promote more recycling, then that brings that cost down.
One of the ideas, if we talk about privatization and things like that, I guess your approach is, if we were to privatize, let's look at a private contract out there, what they're charging, and basically, not key to, but use that as a somewhat of a barometer.
Yeah.
Somewhat of a, that's what we use as a benchmark.
Yeah, benchmark is a better word, yeah. I'm sorry.
And we're constantly looking at the latest contract to see what the latest deal is out there.
But certainly our landfills costs, tipping fees that we're talking about here moving forward, that has a significant component of your cost.
Correct.
So we need to make sure we get these contracts in the best position for us.
Gotcha.
Going forward.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is to hear presentation, discuss, provide direction on the payment of debt service. Councilmember Summers has a motion on the floor that we pay the debt.
Second.
You didn't say how. Mr. Brady, are you starting or right to Mr. Raines? Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm here to talk to you today about the bonds that we're planning on selling, our current bond debt situations, the levels of those, and potential secondary property tax rates that we're looking towards for the next year. Trying to answer a bunch of questions that were brought up previously by Council as we move through this presentation, so hopefully many of these will get answered as we walk through. On slide two of your presentation is our current outstanding principal for our three major bond types, general obligation bonds, utility system revenue bonds, and street and highway user revenue bonds. To the general obligation bonds, our outstanding principal is $270 million. We're looking to sell an additional $30.8 million or $30.9 million this year. The utility system revenue bonds at $820.6 million, we're looking to add another $550.4 million approximately to that. Street and highway user revenue bonds, otherwise known as HERF bonds, we haven't sold in several years, and we don't anticipate selling any more of those, and so that's just a principal retirement from this point forward. In the next three slides, I've provided you with a graphical representation of our debt service costs out through 2029-2030 time frames. On general obligation bond, there is one oddity to point out, and we talked about this a little bit last year, and that is in year 2017-2018, we do have an anticipated or a known spike already in our planned bond debt retirement. We've had significant discussions with our financial advisor over time, and the plan is when we get to that point that we would refund that or refinance that in that year and adjust that debt. So what you would see is more like the dark line on the screen rather than the dotted line.
My neighbor did not have very much success in refinancing. What happens if we can't either at that point?
Mr. Givens here, and he may be able to answer that, but we've never had an issue really when it's come forward with a refinancing, knowing that this long of a range out, we'll be able to work that into our schedules, we believe, and probably roll it into another, if Clary even wants to come and address it, roll it into another sale around that same period of time.
And that's just going with what we know now, but
right.
What we don't know.
Municipal bonds, we've always been able to refinance. Everybody
wants
to buy them.
Were pretty easy to refinance there for a while, too.
Yeah, so but just we've got longer history. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Richens, yes, the plan would be to, that is an oddity that was the result of an issuance back in 1993, and I won't go into all the details behind that, but The city has never had any difficulty refinancing its bonds or restructuring the debt like we had to do a couple of years ago. Now it's 4 years ago, back in 2006, if you remember. And we wouldn't anticipate any problems in the future, but it's never, you can never say never. We'd have about a six-month period in which to plan and to execute the refinancing and during that fiscal year. So
we can only do it then. We can't do it early.
That's the only way we could do it tax exempt. Now, we could do it earlier taxable. And that's the reason why we haven't adjusted it to this point, is because we're looking at trying to refinance that as a tax exempt debt. We've already refinanced it once, and the 1986 Tax Act prevents us. Sarah, our bond counsel is here to talk about that if you want to. But we can only refinance tax exempt one time on an advance basis. Otherwise, we have to wait until we come up to when the bonds are going to be paid to currently refinance it.
And Councilman Richens, and Larry, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, refinancing versus a mortgage may be a little bit different because, as you can see, after that same period of that refinancing period, we already will have existing debt that we're paying and at fairly modest levels. So what we're really proposing to do is to take that amount that's being due on 2017 and essentially extending that payment out further into the future.
That's correct. What we would do is take that, if you will, the lump out of the debt service stream. The exact numbers escape me right now, but there was a $35 million piece of debt that was placed in there a number of years ago, and that would just be refinanced and stretched out, so all of the debt service for that category of bonds would be level at that point.
Does anything that we financed at that time, would that still be being used? I mean, isn't the useful life of whatever we financed at that point?
No.
I mean, from 1993 to, I mean.
Well, hopefully we're building a lot of facilities with these bonds that are planning for 20 or 30 years.
It could have been property acquisition for facilities and things, parkland, things of that nature.
Not like pavement or a fire truck or...
Councilman
Richards, just to put it into perspective, and I know this, you'll want to hear one of these lengthy stories about the history of the debt, but at the time in 1993, when those
is this what bond councils do? Is they sit around and tell lengthy stories about history?
When you're older.
That's the kind of party I want to be at.
Yeah. Well, you can put a lot of analysts to sleep with that kind of thought. But what happened at that time was that the thought was it was combined with some other bonds we were issuing. And at the time, 5% seemed like a really good rate because we're coming out of the late 80s, during which times rates were anywhere from 10% down to 8% to 7%. And the thought was we have a great opportunity now in 1993 to issue 25-year bonds or 20-year bonds at 5%. And we did. And subsequent to that, in the early 2000s, 2002, I believe, we refinanced those bonds at about 3.5% to 4%. And so the idea at that time was to lower the borrowing cost. And at this point, when we come up to that spike in the debt service, we can just restructure it and level everything out. But the borrowing cost at the time seemed like it was too good to miss. So
you've been saving the money all these years. Mm-hmm. What we'll have to do that year is just push it further.
That's
out.
One way to look at it, sir.
Yep.
So it's not that we're necessarily paying for whatever we bought over a longer period of time?
The projects, projects that were involved in that were the useful life were well over 25 years.
And they were, again, sold as 20-year bonds, and if we extend them out, identifies a 25 or 5-year period that we would extend them out over, which is a normal bonding period as well. So we're going from 20 to 25 years. So,
And we need
I
this
think
is.
I understand.
I mean, you okay? You got your question answered? Well, and just to reiterate, because I know we've mentioned this before, things such as trucks, fire trucks, things like that, as by policy, we don't indebt for longer than the estimated useful life.
Correct.
So if there's a truck that's going to last 15 years, with a 15.
Well, we'll structure
10,
the debt so it gets paid off.
We'll structure the debt so it pays off
less than that, yeah.
Consistent with the useful estimated useful life.
That's correct, Mayor. And really the only two types of tangible equipment like that we've ever debt financed have been aircraft for our police department or fire trucks.
Fire trucks, which have long useful lives. Okay. And very well-defined useful lives also.
Correct.
Okay.
The current general obligation debt service in slide 3 is made up of both tax-supported debt as well as general fund-supported debt. And what I've done on these is to try to get the scales all to the same so they give you some perspective about the relative size. Our much larger is our utility system revenue bond debt. Should note that this is fully supported through our utility rates, the various utility rates that We have out the pay for these, the debt service on our various utilities. You can see what that schedule is moving out through 2032 and 2033. And then in pay on slide five is our relatively low but continue to be significant highway user revenue bonds. This money to pay for these comes from state-shared HERF revenues, highway user revenue bond or revenue funds, and so those are used to pay those off. And again, we have not issued HERF debt in several years, and we do not anticipate to issue it in the future.
Now, Brian, with the sweeps of recent HERF funds and other state funds, how does that affect the bonds that were issued based on those funds?
Well, the two sweeps that I know of really relate to our lottery funds, our LTAF. You know, I think our HERF, Mr. Butler, may, if he is here, may be able to speak more to that. Again, these are approved and within state law about our proportional distribution of those, but again, they could always be, we could...
My understanding is once they've been obligated to bonds that they will not be swept. Is that absolutely correct, or is that halfway correct, or totally, or incorrect, or whatever?
Then here comes the short answer.
Mayor, well, Mayor and Council, my understanding is from current year, going into FY11 on the current state budget, there was not a substantial or more than anticipated movement of HERF revenue as it relates to the city and towns portion of that. Some of the state HERF funds were diverted out of their allocation, but I don't believe that there were any from the cities and
just
towns
discussed.
Allocation.
Yeah, it was just discussed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now,
I think the reason being is that most of those funds are tied to debt that's been issued, and so they're... I know that as the legislature has swept funds, and I don't know whether it's by policy, by rule, by whatever, they generally have not swept funds that were committed to bond repayments, but they have swept funds that were not committed.
That's correct.
And I don't know whether that's a general rule or whether they just decided to be nice and not put cities and towns and other districts and things in really bad shape, but...
Well, Mayor, as Mr. Odom stated, it was discussed. It seems it's an annual discussion now about the city's portion of it. I will say, depending on what happens with the May election, that could be an issue that's back on the table. But as of right now, in the currently adopted FY11 state budget, it was not reduced.
Okay, so right now our debt service related to HERF bonds is covered by our HERF, our highway user...
Revenue allocation.
Allocations, which is how it was intended to be. We believe we could be at risk, depending on how the budget goes and the state goes, that at some point in time, either in the next while, that those could be removed, which means we would be then liable to cover those debt service payments out of other sources. Is that accurate?
It's accurate, Mayor.
Mr. Gibbons has a comment.
Mr. Mayor,
on that.
Just a note on that. There is a statute that prohibits, if the funding is available at the state, cutting back below the amount of debt service that you have payable on these type of bonds.
Well, that's what I thought.
But it doesn't prevent them from taking everything else necessarily.
Gotcha.
I don't want to predict
okay.
that.
Well, was my understanding, is that there was something that limited them for debt service that had been obligated. But I didn't know what the rules were. Okay. So while that chance is there, it appears that chance may be a slim chance that we would be at all, the obligations, if what Mr. Gibbons said is true. Okay, thank you.
So that's the history, Mayor, or the projections for our three major bond types. Slide six refers to the general obligation bonds that we anticipate selling. In the upcoming sales, our Series 2010 sales, again, $25.8 million from bonds authorized for public safety and streets in the 2008 election, and then bonds authorized prior to 2008, a little over $5 million worth for neighborhood and street flood control activities. Right now, assuming a 5% interest rate, which hopefully is high, the slide on page seven is our anticipated debt service curve for general obligation bond debt. We have taken into account, you can see that spike is gone. We just worked that in. And that's estimates that current year refunding in 17-18.
So, Mayor and Council, just real quickly, and this is just to put out there as an option, we're seeing it here, is we've of all the options, again, we talked about that stormwater, and there are other options to look at. But one of the options we are presenting here today is not just what's in the council action tonight, is just to sell the bonds, not how to pay them off. But what now we're proposing, or at least considering, an option for the council to consider is using the secondary property tax, including that as a means for repaying the stormwater bonds. So that $5 million.
Right.
We've added that to what would otherwise have been a $25 million.
Which gets into where we left off in the last study session.
Right.
With
what, but we're going to talk about the other options too, but just for the purposes here, we wanted to
you've included those
what it would look like if we included it.
Okay. Councilmember Summers.
Out of curiosity, what would that added $5 million come to in the rate?
Or let's keep going. We're almost there.
Are we there?
We'll get there in a few
that's
slides.
In there? I didn't read ahead.
Yeah.
How does this debt curve, page 7, the total general obligation bond debt service, how does that assume future capital improvement needs that we may go out for? Is this assuming we don't issue any more debt from today on?
This assumes through the 2010 bond sale. We can have a picture that would assume through the 2013 bond sale, which would be everything that was elected through in 2008.
Okay, so this is only debt attached to authorized bond.
Correct.
And so voter approved bond.
And what we would sell up through this year.
Got it.
Authorized and sold.
But Brian, let's be clear. So it's all the authorized debt, but it's only these two sales. Does it include the sales for all of the debt that was authorized?
No. It only includes the first 2 years worth of the
sales.
2008 election.
So there's at least three more sales
There'll be
the 2008 authorized bonds?
Three more sales totaling nearly $100 million.
So we probably ought to show you that next time, what we project. But again, we'll get to the impact of what rate and tax will look like for that same period of time. But we are, because we're already projecting that going, we have to project that as far as the overall sale of the bonds. But it's a good question. This is only assuming the first two sales of that five-part sales for that authorization.
What is now a five-part sale?
And that, is also assuming that we're not going out with a general obligation bond in 20.
We have not assumed any additional authorizations for sales beyond what we've already
identified. Thank you.
Councilman Kavanaugh?
And just to clarify, in case the council would ever want to take the giant step of imposing a secondary property tax on existing general obligation bond debt, this shows what that would cover. Am I correct?
Well, what this shows is a combination, Councilmember Kavanaugh, of both the current tax-supported debt that we've sold last year and we will sell this year, as well as the majority of it in there, though,
is
the general fund-supported general obligation bond debt. And I can make a slide that breaks that out into the two different types. We just wanted to show it to you overall.
Great. Thank you.
One of the questions that has come up is, as part of the 2008 election, there's been some savings identified so far. We identify a net of $28 million of savings in the street projects, as well as to date nearly $4 million in public safety. What I've done on slide 9 then is drop those savings into the projected 2013 sales year. One of the things to note, and this is really the breakdown, the $169,200,000.
Hold on a second, because you jumped over slide 8 really quickly.
Okay.
And I want to make sure we understand the $34,850 on the streets is the $35 million we talked about a month ago.
Correct.
When we were meeting over at the police, and then during that meeting we identified those two, the street intersection improvements and the street light. For what is that, $6.8 million. So what we have left of that $35 million is the $28 million.
Right. And, Mayor, we probably should have broken it out, but we did talk about spending a fraction of an amount for not $10 million, but some fraction of it to begin doing the design, the concept plans
for
Southern. That probably could be another line item.
Could be $1 million.
That was a number that was thrown out.
Right. But we are
cards and letters coming in. But we did commit, you're right, to some initial design.
Right, and we could that would be included
right.
in that use.
So, rounding down, it's $28 million or just shy of $28 million
right.
that is still left uncommitted.
Correct.
Unallocated, thank you.
Right. We had
shouldn't
some
be
other
talking about commitment and the being committed.
Right. We had some other projects, but this is what we're actually going out and committing to.
Well, at that day, we agreed to
move forward on these two and the other one, yes.
And so of that $35 million, which was the number we threw around during that police mm-hmm. that meeting over there, we have $28 million left that has not been allocated.
Yeah, and we're assuming those bonds, if for our scheduling purposes, just to anticipate conservative number, we're going to assume that at some point those dollars will, as you see go forward, they will be spent. There'll be a bond sale, but it's going to be further out into the future from right. the original plan.
Just for planning purposes.
For planning purposes, that is correct.
All right, Councilman Finter.
Well, one of the questions I asked behind the scene when we were talking about these is trying to see if there would be some savings to the general fund if we did not spend those dollars and try and find some immediate savings. And the next slide shows that, well, because we're not going to sell those bonds towards the end, that's where our savings would be. And I understand municipal finance is pretty complicated. I was just hoping that there was a way in trying to task to see if there's a way as if we did not go in further debt but continued with our assessment as if we had sold those and then take that assessment and address old debt, old GO bond debt, and thus free up some monies in the general fund to provide vital services, public safety, sure. those kind of things. It sounds like it's so complicated and unable to get it done. I kind of surrender a little bit, but I was just hoping there was a way to get that done.
No, but actually, Councilmember, I think if you take what you wanted to accomplish, I think when you see the end of the day what we're going to propose, and I'll just jump to whodunit page, what we're trying to get to is reduce the average homeowner tax bill in Mesa from what it was last year, to do that in an era of declining values, as well as continue the policy we heard from council to continue to fund the fire stations that we've added, including 220, into the program, as well as address the stormwater bonds so they don't impact the general fund. So that's where we're headed with this, and do that, all of that again, by actually decreasing by more than 10%, almost 12%, what the average homeowner pays on their tax bill. So that's where we're headed with this presentation. Now I've taken away all the thunder, but...
That's okay. So we had the net savings of both for both public safety to date as well as the streets that we've talked about on page 9. Again, when we had the 2008 election, it was for two questions, public safety and streets. Public safety totaled $58.3 million and streets totaled $110.9 million. So you can see here, this has now been expanded to a five-year program because of some of these savings. We've pushed all of the savings to the 13th year, 2013 projected year. You can see where we've now pulled in the savings that were identified on the previous slide. But one of the things that is of significant note is this year in 2010, we're going to sell $25.8 million of 2008 elected bonds with the additional $5 million in storm sewers for a grand total of 30. But that's $30 million less than what we had anticipated selling as recently as last year.
And people are still, how does that happen? Well, again, let's quickly, things that council are familiar with. Remember, we don't have to sell as many bonds because the cost for fire stations is less than it was. We don't have to spend as much on bonds because street projects are coming in much less than we expected they were going to be. And looking forward, so that allows us to push, one, not spend those dollars in this coming year, and it allows us then to take that savings, and the council, just like we did, we made the decision when there were savings in public safety to fund a new fire station. So at some point we're thinking the council may want to take those dollars and reallocate them, look at them. But we're assuming that's not going to happen in the four-year time frame. That's going to happen in a five-year time frame because we're busy completing, fulfilling the obligations to the projects that we've committed to in the bond program, getting those projects done, and then possibly be able to do additional projects with the savings.
Councilmember Summers?
I think he just hit my question. We've accomplished the projects that
we've continued to move forward.
So they will be done. We have added projects. For example, we never anticipated Station 220, but through cost savings and financial management and some grants, we were able to extend that service to the citizens, and then at this point we're looking at paying less for all the stuff that.
And it's all of that combined with, and this is, I mean, sometimes when we talked about this last year, it probably didn't have an impact. You're seeing it now. Last year when we talked about when we were getting the bonds authorized, we had to assume a certain cost of borrowing. When we went to the markets to borrow the funds that we needed at that time for that first sale, our costs were much less than we expected. And that came because of good bond ratings. It came because of a lot of good work we've done in the city. That's reduced our cost of capital expenses of the borrowing. And so, again, that also, with the savings that we're realizing in project cost, with the cost of borrowing being reduced, that's where we get a lot of these savings, and it takes a lot of pressure off of how much we have to sell each year.
I'm just going to chime in on that, because that thing alone is more important than all of the layoffs you could figure out or 5% reductions you could. If you have good financial management from the beginning and your bond sales and stuff, I just want to give some credit where it's due here to our financial folks for the job that they did with that, because that in the long run saves us more money than all the cuts we could ever imagine. And so, you know, that's an important component of what we are dealing with going forward and how to pay for it.
Thank you, council member. Appreciate that. Let's move ahead.
Yeah, moving on to slide 11, and again, just wanted to touch base with council on the definition of secondary property tax. And really, what we work towards is an amount every year. There's an amount set up to pay debt service. That then we work back to a rate from that based on assessed valuation. But that amount is a fixed amount that we're trying to get. We don't increase the amount of debt service that we're trying to gain just through a growth over time. It's really based on the sales and what we've gone to market and what we've sold in terms of our bond, but it's a fixed amount. It's based on the principal and interest and the redemption charges of those bonds. Currently on page 12, our rate is $29.77 for a current or a home last year that was $210,000. That equates to an.
When you say it, $210,000, that's what we is that what we used in our? That's an average. That's what we used.
That's what we've been using. Yeah.
In a publicity pamphlet.
It's down from the publicity pamphlet because the publicity pamphlet was 2 years ago, and it went down from there. The assessed values went down a little bit from there, and then
okay, so $210,000 was the model home,
right?
Average home that we used last year.
Right.
The value. Okay.
with the adjustments to the AV.
And the 2977 is per thousand, and there's all the other gyrations that go in with calculating what the assessed value is and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So their annual tax bill on this home last year would have been $62.52 for the city of Mason.
Annual.
We had identified, we knew the assessed values were going to go down. We thought they'd go down by 11%, and they really went down by almost 14%. A significant change, so the assessed values dropped, which has been an issue that we've had to adjust for. We talked last week a little bit about this additional $5 million in pre-2008 authorized bonds for neighborhood street flood control or stormwater bonds. We talked about different alternatives, including using cash or repaying from the general fund like other prior 2008 authorizations. There was a discussion of maybe using some gas rate adjustments in the magma area, moving them up to the Southwest gas rate and using that increase as a transfer to pay for those, or repaying those $5 million with secondary property tax. I took the liberty in the next slide to really give you the example of that fourth alternative. As we saw last year, our rate was $29.77 for a $210,000 home. That home has now unfortunately declined in value, in assessed value, to $181,000.
For tax purposes
or for property.
May or may not have declined in real life, but for assessed
for
valuation.
For assessed valuation purposes.
Their assessed valuation average is down.
Right.
And that 100, just so we can get simple here, the 181,000 is 210, taking the 13.8% decrease, and that's where you get the 181,000.
That's correct, Mayor. Yes, thank you. So, and in order then to roll in the flood control bonds, the rate adjusts slightly to 0.3034. But overall, because of the lower assessed valuation, the savings to the homeowner for their City of Mesa tax bill for secondary property tax would decline by about 12%, or $7.60 on this home that is now for the purpose of assessed valuation.
So what you're saying is that we can include the bonds and still the Mesa taxpayers will pay less?
That's correct, sir.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins.
How far behind are they, the state assessor or county assessor, excuse me?
They're on a two-year cycle.
Okay.
That's so you're seeing the real heavy first half of, or the second half of the real heavy adjustments that we were expecting.
Okay. So there's nobody that's still paying on a high house price like a few years ago. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to.
They should have at least had one adjustment since
okay.
now.
Great. Thank you.
Everybody should.
Councilman Summers?
Maybe this was for Chris. You had mentioned that when you blew our surprise for the end, that staffing for Station 219 and 220 was included. Is that in this rate?
Correct.
It is.
And what happens is that amount of a portion of this rate is going to pay existing bond debt that's
Seconded,
currently
correct.
That's, right. That's currently coming out of the general fund through sales
correct.
Tax, whatever. So that'll pay that debt down a little bit.
Yes.
And that'll pay for
that'll free up revenue. That'll free up funds in the general fund to finance. Well, we've already been doing 219. This will then pick up 220.
Well, 219 we've been having. Is this is just going to pick up 220, or is it also going to pick up 219?
Oh, I'm sorry. Now we're adding. Yes.
So we're adding two companies to it.
Correct. Correct.
So Engine 219 is probably $1 million out of the general fund.
What's the number you're using now for the cost for companies?
For 220? Yeah. It's $1.6 million a year with full cost.
Full cost. Well, 219. Each engine is what, $1.6 million a year?
Well, it's $1.6 million for a full company with their equipment.
Okay.
This is a totally new station. It's not in the current
but
fire department.
After 219 would be what?
With $1.3 million and some change.
Okay, so $1.3 million we're relieving.
For personnel cost.
We're paying it right now. This is going to be paid for now out of the new secondary rate. And so it's $1.3 million that we're saving there. Okay.
Correct.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Councilman Richards.
If we wanted to continue to generate $62.52, so if we kept everybody's tax bill flat instead of decreasing everybody's tax bill, mm-hmm. obviously the rate would adjust up. What net effect would that have on our general fund? Would that be?
Let us go back. I'm not sure if we're ready to answer that question. We hadn't gone there. We could look at it.
I have to back into that one and see what.
That's an option.
That's an option.
It's always an option.
And then we could apply that to further debt.
Correct.
Or to
which would free up general fund money.
Free up other sales. Because I was looking at, when you look at all these numbers, you know, the city sales tax and the state sales tax revenue generation is about $130 million. And then when you look at the fun color wheel O budget, it has about $80 million in sales tax. So that other $50 million is being used for debt service. Is that correct? Ish.
You quit quickly on this.
Ish.
Don't throw out numbers. Just shake colors. Is the red part and the green part?
We're currently supporting about $28 million
yeah,
out
go.
Of general fund.
Of debt.
Cash
That's
flow.
Service, yeah.
With paying so, it with sales tax.
Yeah.
Or whatever's in the outer wheel.
So in other words, whatever amount we're paying.
Budget wheel O fund.
Correct.
Whatever amount we're paying out of general fund.
But we collect more. The reason that will, you'll see when you go, well, I thought we sent more from the transfer or more from sales tax or whatever. We do. But it's going to pay off the debt.
Right.
That's part of where that's going. That's why you don't see the full amount of actual sales tax collection or transfer from the utility fund, because a big portions of that are going to also pay for this debt. The secondary property tax that exists out there, $28 million this year.
$28 million and some
change. Yeah, I mean, I think we're saying the same.
I mean, I said it in the meeting the other morning. Our property is what is benefited by these projects, you know, the roads and the flood control projects. And to me, it's the most appropriate use of a secondary property tax to pay for debt that's been incurred to do improvements that have helped property. And so I'm very supportive of this model. I would even like to go so far as to see if we couldn't just flatten that $62.50. I guess if we have to lower people's taxes, we can. But
well,
you know, in this environment, with
there,
cash flow being so
the
difficult,
the council can look at what that dollar amount is. And
you know, I'm happy to have people's tax rates lower. That's a fine thing. But if we could keep that flat as well.
And
so
I think that's a
at least maintain. It's just something I want to throw out
it's
there.
Fair enough. We'll look
but
at it.
But if we got to lower, we'll lower taxes.
Councilman Fenter.
I know we're time is of the essence. Did you happen to, if we had paid cash for that $5 million, what the impact would be on the estimated tax rate for here on slide number 14.
Tax rate or tax bill?
Or tax bill. It was pretty minimal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. The savings would have been about $1.40 more.
Okay.
Per annual, about 0.006 on the rate.
Okay.
That's per year?
Per year.
Per year. Thank you.
$1.40 more per year.
Right. So they're paying $1.40 a year to pay off the storm.
To pay off the storm. Okay.
All right.
Just two real quick ones, Mayor. The questions were asked about how does Mesa stand up both on a local level in our property tax rates. You can see I've included that on slide 15.
Why are these numbers so different than what I always see scheduled in the newspaper? I mean, I actually saw, and I couldn't believe, I actually saw one or two of the cities who had a lower secondary rate than we have, and I know that's and I know that's not correct.
Well,
you guys know that's fine.
Because these came from the county assessor's websites.
Yeah, we don't have time to go into all that kind of stuff. So go ahead.
And then the other one that is Vice Mayor Jones asked is on slide 16 about our bond debt per resident, second lowest of the major cities in the valley, right behind Chandler, at $587 per resident on our general obligation bond debt. Again, but our secondary rate is at 29.77, and Chandler's is at 85.22. So,
okay.
And then just the schedule.
The schedule is we'll be having rating calls, receive authorization hopefully to sell tonight, receive bids on May 12th, and we'll be back here on the 13th of May, Council, with the news about what our rates are going to be and who the buyers of our bonds.
So again, Mayor and Council, we are the $5 million that we've added stormwater tonight. Is again just recognizing we need the projects, we'll sell the bonds, and we can still come back and have this discussion about how those should be paid for, because we didn't get into the discussion about how much more would be generated if the magma rates were similar to Southwest Gas, and there's some benefits there too, so we can have those conversations later.
Okay
thank you.
All right, one more item four, we need to make a couple appointments to boards. I have submitted to you a recommendation for two appointments. Ms. Pamela Williams to the Museum and Cultural Advisory Board, and Mr. Brian Arnett to the Planning and Zoning Board.
Move for approval.
I have a motion from Vice Mayor, a second from Councilmember Higgins. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Brady, real quickly.
Just a reminder, we'll have a study session this Thursday at 7:30.
Okay. Any other items to come up? Anything you need to report? Oh, no, that's because we're tonight. We have that tonight at the council meeting. Okay. We have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Summers, a second from Councilmember Richens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We're adjourned. See you upstairs.
The whole time.